Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
We're going to look at a passage this morning that underlines a great need in many people's lives today, the need of hope. The need of hope. And I want you to think with me about Christ and the hope that Christ offers in our lives. And we're going to look at this in a very individual perspective, and then we're going to look at it in a much broader perspective as well. So from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, God's Word says, "Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, or from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, that raised Him from the dead, and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Your hope might be in God. When we look at that passage, from verse 18 through verse 20, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus, and He is our redemption, and His blood atones for our sin. He was foreordained from the foundation of the world. In other words, from before the world was ever created, it was determined that Jesus was going to be the Redeemer and the Savior of mankind. But it wasn't until the church age when Jesus was made known, when the Messiah appeared, and He was manifest in the last days. And He was manifest for us. He was manifest for you and for me, for everyone in the world. And with that, verse 21 brings us down to the theme or the thesis of the passage. And it is that faith and hope might be in God. Hope is a word that we hear spoken quite often today. Now, we hear many claims from individuals who believe that they have the hope that is needed to relieve our fear. We even hear individuals talk about hope being taken away from us. Can I be honest with you this morning? I talk with people every day who have no hope. They've given up on hope. They've replaced hope with an attitude of get what I can while I can. They see that hope for many has been replaced with desperation. We've watched our morals dissolve. Our morals have turned our society into nothing more than slime. And I realize that's a pretty bold word to use. But when we look around and when we see our society giving way and falling apart and collapsing morally and ethically and spiritually, when there is a bold and a brazen push for abortion, just for the sake of having an abortion, when there is a push for a dissolving of the marriage and a dissolving of the family unit, when all of that is celebrated, and not only celebrated, when it is touted and touted throughout the system and throughout society as something that should be embraced and it should be welcomed, our society has dissolved. into slime. Now, that doesn't involve everyone, but it does speak generally for the condition of our society and everything that goes with it. We've experienced the political correctness, which has led our culture into a state of fear and even chaos. Every time we turn the television on, someone that tries to speak the truth, someone that tries to promote and proclaim the truth, they're being pushed against, they're being threatened, they're being name-called, they're being bullied, they're being thrown under the bus of anything and everything that can be pushed out there. Tell us everything we want to hear, but tell us nothing that we need to hear. That seems to be the direction. And what it boils down to is it robs the hope from people. It takes us away from having something that we can base faith and hope on to being nothing more than a group of people who are programmed or indoctrinated into following a standard, conforming to an ideology or a thought. God had better things in mind for His creation, for His people than that. And God wants people that are going to love Him, people that are going to follow Him, people that are going to submit to Him, people that are going to understand His Word as an absolute authority in their life. That's the hope that God offers for you and I today. That's the hope that God offers for this world. That's the hope that the world is pushing and turning away from today. And that hope is dissolving who we are as a people and who we are as a created image of God. And sadly, we're not seeing it. Sadly, we're not seeing it. Well, whenever we think about it, it's not very encouraging. But I'm not finished yet. There's more. From our text, we read St. Peter's words to the church, and yes, they are to the church. You see, the world that Peter saw was no different than the world that you and I see today. The world hasn't changed any. In St. Peter's day, the first century church, there was those who were redefining marriage, those who were promoting homosexuality and gender changing. And that goes all the way back into the book of Genesis. When you read Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you hear God's words plainly proclaimed against those behaviors. Now God is prophetic and He saw ahead, but also at that time, early on with Sodom and Gomorrah and leading up to them, that lifestyle and those behaviors were present then. They were present in the first century church. Rome was a very liberal society. The Roman government wanted to have their finger on people and on their behavior. They wanted to have control so that there would be no uprising. They wanted taxes. They wanted all of that. But beyond that, they could care less what someone done with their individual life. The moral decay that we see today was seen in the same people that Peter was ministering to in his day. So, sin doesn't change. It doesn't matter if it is abortion, if it's homosexuality, if it is adultery, if it is fornication. It doesn't matter if it's lying or cheating or stealing. It doesn't change. It has always been sin and it always will be sin. And it will be defined by God, not by man. That's something that many of us today just don't like to see. We don't like the idea that God, being a superior sovereign being, actually makes the rules and actually does the definitions and will actually be the judge. But He will. He certainly will. And you know, for the church, that is where our hope lies. When we look around us and we see society dissolving into the mess that it's dissolving into, and we get discouraged and we feel like there is no hope, we need to take a second look at God's Word and realize that because of Jesus Christ, there is hope. Because of Jesus Christ, there is hope for everyone in the world. Not just hope for the church, but there is hope for those who deny Christ today. There is hope that they can be saved. There is hope that they can find the truth and that they can be redeemed by it. So from this text, I have broken it down and condensed the message into three simple and easy to remember points. First, I want you to realize with me that our individual hope resides in Christ. As an individual, you have plans for your life. I hope you've got plans for life. I hope you're seeing those plans through. And we can say that those plans are also a hope for your future and for the future of your families. So let's answer a few questions about personal plans. Where do your plans come from? Where do your plans come from? What guides your principles, your plans for the future, for your life, for your direction, for your family? What is the guiding principles for life? They can be a couple of things. They can be the world or they can be Christ. If it is the world, then you're being guided by principles that are ever-changing. One day the stock market is up, setting records. The next day the stock market is down, setting records. And one day the job market is wide open and broad and the opportunities are endless. The next day the job market is narrow and the opportunities are full. If you're following and basing your plan on the world and worldly activities and materialistic gain, then your plans are always in turmoil. Your plans are always topsy-turvy. But if you base your plan on Christ, and you can do that, you can base the plan of your life on Jesus Christ and what He wants, what He expects, what He lays out plainly in His Word for you to follow. Spiritually, morally, ethically, in principles, in conduct, in all of those matters. If you allow Christ to have His say in your life and you let Him be the source and the guiding principles of laying the plan out for your life, yes, it will always mean that Christ will be number one. It will always mean that Christ will be at the top of the list. Yes, it will always be based on Christ. Everything you do will have Christ at the center of it. And that's the way we're supposed to be. We are supposed to have Christ at the center of everything that we do in our lives. That's why God sent Him to be our Redeemer. Because we were separated from God because of sin. He sent Christ to be our redemption, our salvation, our Lord and Savior. A lot of folks today don't want to accept Lord in that combination. They want to accept Savior. They want to say that, yes, I will be saved by Jesus, but I will not be put in a spot where He is my Lord. You can't have it both ways. You can't have Jesus as your Savior and yourself as your Lord. God's Word doesn't allow that. If Jesus is your Savior this morning, He is your Lord. He should be the one that you base your plans around. Well, the second question, where do your plans lead you? Where do your individual plans lead you today? Where do you see yourself 5 years from now? Where do you see yourself 10 years from now? What is the vision that you have for yourself, for your family? Over in the book of Proverbs, we're told that without vision, people perish. So, from your principles, from your plan, and from the place that you get your plan from, what is the vision that is established down the road? Where do you see it taking you? Do you see it taking you to prosperity? Do you see your plans taking you to prestige? Do you see your plans taking you to influence? Do you see your plans taking you to any of those worldly endeavors? If you do arrive there, what will be the cost? I know many people today who are sitting in places of prominence. They're sitting in executive offices. They're sitting in high places in government. But do you know what it costs them to achieve their plan? It costs them their marriages. It costs them their children. It costs them everything that they started off and held dear in their lives. It costs them everything. Oh, they've got the big house, and they've got the big titles, and they've got the big names, and they've got the big influence, and they've got everything that they wanted. They reached their plan. But in the end, what they had to pay to get to that end wasn't worth what they received when they got there, because they were miserable. I know people in prison who will spend the rest of their life in prison because they actually achieved their plan. Their plan was to be wealthy in dealing drugs. Their plan was to not be a user of drugs. They weren't going to get involved in drugs, but hey, they were going to sell them to somebody else. And they were successful at it. They went from taking $10,000 worth of cocaine and taking the money and exchanging it, moving to $50,000 worth of cocaine, doing the same thing, then moving and selling and distributing hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of drugs into the streets of America and into children's lives. And they didn't care. They didn't care what it was doing to families. They didn't care what it was doing to children's lives. They were living their dream. Their plans were coming to fruition. Until one day, somebody came kicking in the door, carrying a badge. They had the evidence, and now their plans have led them to prison. Do you know what those two scenarios I just laid for you, do you know what they have in common? Going back to the first one, where their plans came from, they came from the world. Their plans came from the world, and their plans led to a worldly end. You see, we often forget this world is led by the devil. This world is controlled by the devil. This world has got the devil as his master and as its master. And everything that comes from the world is going to lead you to the devil. It's going to lead you to Satan. And it's going to lead you to his destruction and to his downfall. Now, if your plans lead you to seeing your children saved by grace through faith in Christ, if your plans lead you to seeing your family established in church and living and serving God through the local church, if your plans come to an end and lead you to Jesus Christ in the end, then your plans are based on Jesus Christ, and that's where your plans will take you. You may not have the big house on the big side of town. You may not have the big title. You may not have the big bank account. You may not have influence, and you may not have all of this other stuff. But you'll have Jesus. Does your plans lead you to having the influence of the world? Or does your plans lead you to having influence to God the Father, who sits on the throne in heaven, and have you as His child, where you've got access to Him? What greater influence can a person want in life today than to have influence and have the ear of God and to be able to walk close with Him on a daily basis? What greater influence can you have? Where else could your plan lead you that would be any better? But you're not going to get there by following the world. You're not going to get there by letting it lead you down that path. You're going to get there by putting your hope in Jesus Christ. Verse 21 says that your hope and faith might be in God. Everything in that passage points to that one ending sentence, for your faith and your hope to be in Christ. Regardless of the circumstances of the world, regardless of what's going on around you today, regardless of what you may find yourself in right now, whether it is a financial situation, whether it is a marriage situation, whether it is a health situation, whatever it may be this morning, Jesus Christ can give you hope, and because you have hope in Him, you can have faith in Him. And because you have faith and hope in Him, you don't need anything else today. That doesn't mean you don't go to the doctor, and that doesn't mean that you don't go to the grocery store, and that doesn't mean that you don't go to work. But it means that everything that you do according to the stewardship of life will be looked at through Christ and through the Word that He gives us in the Bible. Well, then number three, when you realize where your plans are coming from and you realize where your plans are leading you, where do your plans leave you? In the end, where do they leave you? We know that in the end we're all going to die. If the Lord doesn't return and rapture out the church, we're all going to die. That's just a reality. So where do your plans leave you? Do they leave you with an estate, a lot of money that you think you're going to be giving out and distributing to your children, when in reality it may lead to a destruction of your family because of greed? Or does it lead you to a point of being able to point other people to Christ? Does it leave you as an indicator of what a Christian life can do in a person's individual life? What Christ can do to lead you and guide you and direct you? Does it leave you in a spot where you have influence and people coming from all over the world to view and to give a eulogy to you and to talk about everyone that you was or that you were, the person that you were, who you were when you lived? And you may be a good moral person. You may have all of the attributes that go with being a great person. But if you didn't know Jesus, you missed the one attribute that was really important. Because in the end, we all go into the same size piece of ground. In the end, our graves are the same size. The presidents have nothing different than those in poverty. So where do your plans leave you? Where are your plans going to leave you when your time here on this earth is finished? Where are your plans going to leave your family and your children when all they have is your legacy? What will your legacy be in their lives and in your grandchildren's lives and in your great-grandchildren's lives? What will they remember most about you? Will it be your Christian witness and your Christian testimony, or will it be something more materialistic? When we talk about hope, we have to understand what hope really is. We can't let others be defining it for us or redefining it for us. God sets the absolute standard for all of these things in His Word, and we have to understand what they are, and we have to be able to embrace them, and we have to be able to get in line with them. Yes, there is hope. That's what we tell folks every Saturday when we're at the market. And we're meeting them and we're talking to them. And they'll come up and they'll look at the things that we have on the tables and they'll start looking at them and picking them up and they'll tell them, so folks, it's all free. And they'll look at me and they'll think, nobody gives anything away anymore. It's all free. We're offering hope through Jesus Christ. That's the word, that is the phrase that we have adopted for that ministry. Offering hope through Jesus Christ. Because we realize that there is no other hope left. There is no other hope that has anything established or tied to it. That is the individual hope. But what about our family hope? Well, our family hopes are tied to our individual hope. Do you realize today the family is being destroyed and taken apart because marriage is being destroyed and taken apart? We're heading to a point in a time where there will be no marriage. Marriage will be a thing of the past. When we get to the, as we have gotten to the point already in society where we have changed, God established male and female, man and woman. He created them, Adam and Eve. He created them for what purpose? To propagate the human race, to reproduce. Okay, He established marriage as a covenant between a man and a woman. Well, what has happened today? Marriage is no longer a covenant between a man and a woman. It's a legal contract that every state oversees. A covenant doesn't get broken. A legal contract can get annulled by a judge. America and the world around us no longer sees marriage as a covenant. It no longer acknowledges marriage as a covenant. It acknowledges it as a contract. As such, children get the effects of all of this. Okay, children get born, children get birthed, and they come into the family unit. They come in, you've got mom, you've got dad. So you have now divorce that has become so easily to obtain. If somebody wants out of a marriage today, all they have to do is walk away. That's all. You can say yes, but till you're blue in the face. All they got to do is walk away. I know. All they have to do is say, I'm done, I want something different, and they have to leave. They just walk away. And do you know what our legal system says? They have the right to do that. So now you wind up with a redefinition of marriage that is no longer biblical but is worldly. And then you come to a point where children now have gotten in the way of parents and of men and women who want to be sexually promiscuous. So they're sexually promiscuous, so what happens? Here comes abortion. Children now, the one big thing that kept people in line to some degree was the reality that if they get out and if they start messing around and they start becoming immoral, there may be children involved and there's financial repercussions with that, so they won't deal with that. So what happens is we come up with abortion. And we say, oh, well, we want abortion on demand, and it's going to happen, and it's going to take place, and yes, it happened, and yes, it takes place, and yes, it does. But when we get to a point where we endorse it by saying that people have a legal right, again, here comes that word legal right, over a biblical mandate that says you don't do things like that, says it's a sin to take a life, it's a sin to kill. So now you're getting to a point where you start eliminating some other things from God's plans. You keep destroying hope. Well, now with children, it's no longer a thing of men and women procreating children. Now we don't need men and women procreating children. We can create children in a laboratory. So we don't need the procreation process that God created. Again, man steps in. So what happens is you take away hope. You take away faith. What happens to the men and the women who, like Abraham and Sarah, put their faith in God to give them a child as God promised to do and wait on God's way of doing things? What happens to that hope that happened there, what happens to all of that when man steps in and jumps ahead of God? You saw what happened or have read what happened in God's Word when Abraham and Sarah jumped ahead of God. The world is still reaping the repercussions of that. Families, our hope resides in Christ. I don't know that anything will ever get any better. As a matter of fact, as I read God's Word, I see it actually getting worse. We're getting to, and we're quickly moving down the road to the point where it says over later in the New Testament where they quit giving in marriage. I believe that's a very real statement. I believe it's a real statement where we're headed to, where marriage will no longer be a thing of that we worry with, that this man and this woman, they'll cohabitate until they get tired of one another, then they'll split and they'll go cohabitate with others till they get tired of one another, and the children will just be a product of the cohabitation, and they won't even be a family structure anymore because the children will be something that will belong to the state. The children will belong to a socialist type of a rule and a regime. They'll be a community child. They'll be a village child. And it'll be the government will be in control of all of the children. And the people, the men and the women, will just go happily along enjoying themselves in their promiscuity and in their immorality and in those things of that nature. Why? Because there is no longer hope and faith in Christ. Do we really want our society to crumble into that? If you go back, and if you're a serious student of history, you go back and you read about the history of the Romans and the Roman Empire as given by the Greek philosophers who wrote it during that day, and you will see what took place. That grim picture I just gave has already lived itself out in one civilization. At least one. It not only will happen in this civilization that we live in, it has happened in one that existed prior to us. Why? Because we had no hope in Christ. God established man and woman for husband and wife in a covenant relationship. And He established that covenant relationship to produce children. Why? Because the family unit is the basis of the church. The family unit starts the basis of the church. Why do you think Christ calls us the bride, His bride? Why do you think God calls us His children? Everything that is given in the Scriptures about the relationship between the Lord and Savior and those He has saved, all of that it's all in a family structure. It is all in a family atmosphere. Our family's hope must return to Jesus Christ. Why? Because our nation depends on it. If the individual has no hope in Christ, if the family has no hope in Christ, the nation will have no hope. We hear a lot of talk today, especially being an election year, about hope and this one going to do this and this one's got this. We hear a lot of that. We hear a lot of the political jargon already cranking up, okay? But the hope they offer isn't hope that's going to be sustaining. It's going to be a short period of time and then it's going to wear off, it's going to fall away. There's not going to be enough money to support it. Something is going to happen to it. It's not a hope that can be sustainable. The hope that is sustainable for our nation is Jesus Christ. When people are saved and they're born again through Christ, their perspective on life changes. It changes from the individual's perspective. It changes from a family perspective. It changes as a national perspective. When we start looking at Christ and we start following the right and the wrong of God's rule, then everything else as far as rights and privileges and liberty and all of that, it just falls into a natural order. It falls into a natural order that's easy to follow. It falls into a natural order that's easy to put things together with. That's easy to satisfy. If we can satisfy God through Jesus Christ, we can easily satisfy the constitutional rule of the Republic which were founded. And our hope will be restored. Hope begins with you and me this morning. Where does my hope come from? That's a question that we need to ask. That's a question we need to know the answer to in our lives personally. Where does my hope come from? Does it come from government or prosperity or material things or influence or any other man-made invention? If it does, then your hope is hopeless. Because it will fail you. It will eventually and inevitably fail you. But if your hope comes from Christ, if He is your Lord and if He's your Savior this morning, your hope will be realized. Not in eternity, not just in eternity, but your hope will be realized from the moment that you're saved. It will be realized that hope is real. That there is something tangible out there, something meaningful, something that not only establishes my life right now, but it's something that's going to be there tomorrow and next year and 10 years from now. It's something that I can plan my future on. It's something I can plan my family's destiny on. It's something that my church can grow and can deal with and can move through. It is a hope that migrates through every part of my life. So this morning, my closing is simple. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, come to Him without delay. For the Christian, it's time to take inventory and take responsibility and ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen your walk with the Lord and to develop you and to develop your family to be a better society and to be a better family unit, to be a better individual, to be a better nation. So this morning as we get ready to close and as we close in prayer today, I want to say that if God's dealing with your heart, you need to respond to Him. You need to respond and you need to get that hope back. Maybe you've been discouraged. There's hope. Maybe your faith has suffered. There's hope. Maybe you've questioned God and maybe you've questioned the realities of God and questioned the things that are going on and where is God? God's not gone anywhere. There's still hope. There's still hope. The decision you have to make this morning, where is your hope going to be found? Is it going to be found in Christ? Or is it going to be found in the world? So this morning as we pray, you think about that. You think about how God is dealing with your heart and where your hope lies. Let's pray.